Hey, welcome to Calvary Chapel, Pompano Beach. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Acts, chapter 28. As we go through the book of Acts, chapter by chapter, verse by verse, I pray I get through it this week. We've had some issues in the past, but let the Lord be glorified. Amen. So as Paul is walking, we've walked with him through Jerusalem. We've watched him be imprisoned. We watched him sent out with a task that God has given him. And all along the path, he sees himself in turmoil, trials and tribulations, shipwrecked. Now we see him bitten by a viper, poisonous snake. And all along the path that Paul is walking, the Lord is with him. God's favor is upon him. He continues to walk in the strength and the power of God Almighty because his trust and his hope is in God. Nowhere do we see Paul standing up, hey, I'm going to make this happen. I'm going to settle this for the Lord. All along the way, he's trusting, he's hoping, he's grasping onto the truths of the scripture, of the word that God gave him. Now, what was the word God gave him? That he would be a witness to the Gentiles and the Jews, and that he would go to Rome. Now, all along this path, on his way towards Rome, he finds all these things happening to him. And yet, if he holds fast to the truth that God has told him, where is he going to end up? He's going to end up exactly where God said he's going to be. He's going to Rome. He's getting there. But along that path, God is using him, listen, to witness and to draw other people to the Lord. Now, it's a great story as we've watched him board this ship full of prisoners. He's a prisoner himself. A prisoner of the Roman soldiers, and they find themselves in a hurricane, a storm of their life. And the soldiers say, hey, we're going to kill these prisoners lest they escape after the ship runs aground. And the chief commander says, no, don't touch Paul, and don't touch any other of the prisoners. God's favor is once again shown in Paul's life when he finds himself in a difficult situation. He has, listen, absolutely no control of his circumstances. You ever find yourself in that way? Things are happening in your life. Things are happening in your marriage, in your relationships, in your job. You have absolutely no control over. Who do you turn to? God. Now, some people don't turn to God. There's other options, isn't there? There's other relationships you can turn to, which we've seen how the marriage is destroyed that way. We've seen people follow all different types of religions. And we've seen them go to psychiatrists and psychologists and talk to everybody but God, the one who is the orchestrator, the finisher of your faith. And when we go to God, here's what happens. The peace of Christ that transcends all understanding guides our heart, how we feel, and our mind, how we think. Now, it doesn't say that the thing is going to be perfect. The situation is going to be pleasant, but the outcome is God's plan. And his promise is that he would get us through it. Though we walk through the fire, he will get us through it. And the waters may rise, he's going to get us through it. And we see that proof in Paul's life. Penned by the Holy Spirit through Paul, he teaches us to trust in God, to wait upon the Lord, to hold fast to the promises of God. Paul finds himself shipwrecked. And in chapter 28, verse 15, the Christians encountered in Italy, when Paul saw them, he thanked God and took courage. Listen, here's what we need in life. Encouragement. Would you agree? Things are happening around us all the time. And so many things come up against us as we live in this world. And, you know, we need people to encourage us. So he finds himself finding other Christians that encouraged him. Are you an encourager? How many of you need encouragement? I certainly do. We all need encouragement. And this is, God willing, the place as we come together that we can encourage one another. And then take it from these walls outside into the cities that we live in what? Encouragement. Encouragement. Loving on others as Christ has loved us. So often, listen, we want to sit back and judge the world. Oh, look how bad it is. Yes, it's bad. It's supposed to be bad. It's under Satan's corruption, Satan's bondage. Those who are not believers are under Satan's control. And God tells us to go be a witness to them, to be light. Light illuminates what you cannot see in the darkness. To illuminate the truth as we begin to interact with those in the world. To be salt. Salt adds flavor to something that's bland. And people in the world will look to your life and say, you know what? You're going through the same thing I am. How come I'm a wreck and you're not? What are you doing that I'm not doing? And then those who believe can say, I'm just trusting in God. No matter what happens. So often we get so upset and so excited about things that are happening around us as if we can control them, and yet God may be using them, listen, for a greater purpose that we don't see. This boat that Paul is on is shipwrecked on an island on the way to Rome. He's still on his way to Rome, right? He can't get there yet. God's making all these detours in his life, detours in his plan, but yet he's still on the way to Rome. The ship is shipwrecked, and he finds himself on this island of barbarians, pagan worshipers, and Paul gets bitten by a venomous snake, a viper snake that should have killed him, and yet no harm comes to him. These barbarians, these natives say, he made it through the shipwreck, but he's a murderer, and God's going to judge him. And so they were waiting for him to die. Now, it's curious to know how they knew he was a murderer. But there was remnant people, remnant churches, which we'll see in the end here. God's witnessing all over the world at this point. They heard about this guy, Paul. Paul was a murderer. Paul was a persecutor of Christians. Now, you and I would have counted this guy out, right? Oh, there's no way he's going to get saved. There's no way. You have those no way people on your list somewhere? We all have a no way list, right? There's no way. And I was on that list. My parents had a list, and they said I was the last one of their five kids that would get saved. We all have those no ways. But God is the one who makes a way. And God takes this man, Paul, and transforms and changes him. And what's interesting about the story is that even after he got saved, those he went to witness to didn't trust him, didn't believe him. Hey, don't trust this guy. This is Saul of Tarsus. He's the one who was there when Stephen was stoned. He's a persecutor and a murderer of Christians. And the Holy Spirit tells them that he's praying. There's something about his life has changed that they noticed. Paul is praying to God. He's praying to Jesus Christ. And then they begin to watch his life and they begin to follow. And here's what they begin to do. They begin to emulate Paul. I mentioned it on Sunday. There's a rabbinical saying that says, may you be covered in the dust of your rabbi. That means that you're walking so close behind your rabbi that the dust from his sandals is all over you. May you be covered in the dust of your rabbi. That you're walking so close with your teacher. I pray we're walking so close with the Lord that the grace and mercy that he pours out on us begins to flow on other people as well. And so they're watching Paul's life, these barbarians, and it says that they changed their mind on what they thought about him. They saw God's hand of favor on Paul. He didn't die. He did not get sick. Though he was bitten by the viper, they saw him shake it off like this. And yet God's favor and grace saved Paul. And what was the result of that? They became believers. They became believers. And now Paul, on his way to Rome, probably thinking Nero's in charge, Nero was a very evil man, he engages other Christians, those who cared about him, those who were like-minded. And they encouraged him. And they encouraged him. There's some things that happen in the church sometimes that you don't know about. It's kind of like I was talking to someone just today that, you know, kids don't understand all the things that the parents go through, right? You know, the kids don't have to worry about paying the bills and the electric bill and the insurance for the car and the insurance for the house and the water bill and the taxes and all these things that have to happen in the house. Kids don't know. I remember one time my young sons wanted to go somewhere, and I don't remember where it was, but I said, you know what, we don't have the money for that. And one of my sons says, just go to the bank. He He didn't have the concept of how the money gets in the bank, right? And sometimes things happen in the church where you don't know about it, but behind the scenes, you're like, wow, this is hard. This is difficult. Difficult people come in the church with their problems, and they take it out on you, and they leave, and they stab you in the back and talk bad about you. But you, all you did was love on them, but that's not what they did to you. So sometimes things in ministry gets difficult. And when someone comes in the church with a smiling face and they're encouraged by the word, that is encouraging to me. The fact that you're here tonight listening to the word of God, it's his word, I'm just a messenger, but that the Lord is moving in your heart is encouraging to me. And when things happen, sometimes people don't have full understanding. I've spoken to everyone about this house that we're purchasing for a discipleship house. And we talked about the dollar amount that we would purchase it. We had a set amount, and they tried to coax us into more, and we said, no, this is our final offer. They accepted their offer. So then we go to the bank, and the bank wanted, because we're a church, we own no property, minimal income, they wanted 65% down on a business loan. So, well, there's no way we can do that. And so we prayed, if God's in this, listen, if God's in this, he'll make it happen. If God, listen, let me repeat that for you, because we may have missed that. And sometimes even us in ministry miss that. If God's in this, he will make it happen. I don't have to manipulate anything. If God is in it, he will make it happen. I got an email today from the bank. We got the loan. Now that's a miracle. That's a miracle, because the average for our situation would be 65% down, and they allowed us to get the mortgage at 25% down, and we have that. Praise the Lord for that miracle. Now, all along this path, there were people around me saying certain things, you should do this, you shouldn't do that. Some of it encouraging, some of it discouraging. But at the end of the day, when we come together and we look to the Lord as the one who fulfills the things that we are doing in his ministry, in my life, then I can rejoice to say that the Lord's in this. The Lord is with us. If you took an account of your life, now we all want to take an account of all the bad things. Oh, my TV went out. Oh, you know, and they're very little things that we take account of. But if we look at all the things that God has done, all the things that we are to be thankful for, man, we're rich. We are filthy rich in the Spirit of God. And the thanksgiving that should flow from us should be every minute thanking the Lord, dependent upon him every minute, trusting in him every minute, following his path and his call in our life every minute. And like Paul, we will see God's plan for our life fulfilled as we follow Christ. Amen. And so Paul finds himself, we'll pick it up in verse 17 through 22, Acts chapter 28, and it came to pass after 3 days that Paul called the leaders of the Jews together. So when they had come together, he said to them, men and brethren, though I have done nothing against our people or customs of our fathers, yet I was delivered as a prisoner from Jerusalem into the hands of the Romans, whom when they had examined me, wanted to let me go because there was no cause for putting me to death. But when the Jews spoke against it, I was compelled to appeal to Caesar, and not that I had anything to which to accuse my nation. For this reason, therefore, I called for you to see you and speak with you, because for the hope of Israel I am bound with this chain. Then they said to him, we neither receive letters from Judah concerning you, nor have any brethren who come reported or spoken any evil of you, but we desire to hear from you what you think for concerning this sect, speaking of the way, the Christian sect, we know that is spoken against everywhere. Note those words that I just read at the end in verse 22. We know that it is spoken against everywhere. They're speaking about the Christian doctrine, Jesus Christ dying on the cross and salvation. It has spread everywhere at this point. The gospel has gone out. And so Paul speaks to the Jewish leaders. He is at Rome at this point. Remember, Claudius had evicted the Jews from Rome in 49 AD. So this is 12 years later. Evidently, there's a remnant of believers there in this area. And the reason is he defends himself before he's framed. Remember, they were out. The plot was for Paul to be murdered. They wanted Paul to be killed. Paul now has turned against those he had followed before, and he's following this man called the Christ. It was called the Way, a sect of religion, and everyone spoke against it everywhere. Those are amazing words. In just really a short time, the word of God has spread all over this area. And Paul says in verse 20, for the hope of Israel, I am bound, the hope of Israel, the Messiah, the hope of Jesus, I am bound to this task that God has given me. His life is surrendered. It is given to God for God's purpose. His trust is in not his power, but in God's power. His hope is in not what he can accomplish for God, but what God is going to accomplish through him. Did you capture that? So often we look at service to the Lord, no matter what it may be. It could be the music ministry. It could be the counseling ministry. It could be the pastorate. The work that we're going to do for the Lord as opposed to the work that the Lord is going to do through us. And when we think on those terms, we are totally free from the outcome. It's all about God, right? He says that some plant seeds and some water. But only God is the one who can make it grow. And so when I trust in the Lord to do his work in your life, I'm not calling you every week saying, hey, did you sin again? Did you say that word again at work? Why? I'm just giving you the message from the gospel, right? The Holy Spirit that dwells within me dwells within you. And God is the one who's going to do the work in your heart. But as long as my life, as Paul's life, is surrendered to the Lord, then the Lord is the one who executes his plan for our life. Paul believed in Jesus, and he is persecuted from the Jews. Verse 21, when neither receive letters from Judah concerning you, nor have any of the brethren who have come and reported or spoken evil against you. So finally, Paul is not the hunted one. These Jews that he's now present in front of in Rome are not out to kill him. But it says, we desire to hear from you what you think. So the Jews open to what Paul has to say. The last time Paul spoke to this crowd of people was in Acts chapter 13 in Antioch. And this is 15 years ago. Things have happened in their lives. Maybe they're more receptive into hearing the gospel of Christ. Remember when you were when you were 19, you were in your 20s, right? Nobody could tell you anything. You knew it all, right? Well, at least I did. When I was 20, man, don't tell me anything. I got it all together, right? You guys who are parents, us parents, we know that, right? But let's not forget we were one of those too. We couldn't tell, and nobody could tell us nothing. We got it all together. Everybody around us is wrong. And as we began to get older and live life and situations and experience things, we begin to say, hey, you know what? I don't really know it all, do I? And maybe my parents were right. And maybe if I would have shut my mouth for 5 minutes and listened to somebody, I could have learned something. And so 15 years now has passed. That's a long time. 15 years go by, Paul shows up again. These Jews now want to hear from Paul. What happened? God's doing his mighty work in his time, right? Have you ever witnessed to somebody? Perhaps you got a family member, because I have family members that we're praying for. They don't know Jesus yet, and we get so frustrated. And yet, we don't know the whole plan. Right? We don't know God's whole plan. 10 years from now, they may get saved. They may be a pastor. They may be a minister. We don't know what God's plan is. That's why we need to trust in the Lord. I love to talk about, Ron brought it up earlier today, about our parade. As we watch a parade go by, we just see one float at a time, right? One scene at a time. And we have to wait for the next event to come before us. But God in the heavenly places sees the whole parade. He sees the beginning, the middle, and the end. God sees our whole life. He's not restricted by time and space. And so God knows it all. So we need to trust in him because he knows what's coming next. Don't give up on people. 15 years later, he gets to give them the gospel again. Amazing. For concerning this sect, literally, the heresies of Christianity. Because don't forget, it was blasphemy to the Jews to call Jesus the Messiah, the Christ. So they're referring to Christianity. We know that it is spoken against everywhere. The gospel's impact, the enemies are everywhere. But remember, Acts chapter 1, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you to be my witness in Jerusalem, Judea, and to the ends of the earth, right? Well, this has happened. And the inside of the church at Rome is drawn attention of the Jews. And it's a strong church. Paul wrote 3 years prior to that in Romans chapter 1, verse 8, "First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith be spoken of throughout the world." That is these people he's talking to right now. He wrote about them 3 years prior. In Romans chapter 15, he writes, "Now I myself am confident concerning you, my brethren, that you also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another." So at the time, it suggested 10 years have passed since the ministry and other people have come along that Paul is writing here in Romans about these people. So we'll pick it up in verse 23 through 29. "So when they had appointed him a day, many came to him at his lodging, to whom he explained and solemnly testified of the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus from both the law of Moses and the prophets, from the morning till evening. And some were persuaded by the things which were spoken, and some disbelieved. And so when they did not agree among themselves, they departed after Paul had said one word. The Holy Spirit spoke rightly through Isaiah, the prophet to our fathers, saying, 'Go to this people and say, hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of the people have grown dull, their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them. And therefore, let it be known to you that the salvation of God has been sent to the Gentiles, and they will hear it.' And when he had said these words, the Jews departed and had great dispute among themselves." Two major divisions happen. They happen here, and they happen in your life as well. Two major divisions. He speaks of the entire Old Testament, all about Jesus. Christ in the Old Testament is concealed. In the New Testament, he's revealed. Christ in the Old Testament is concealed through the promises, and he is revealed in the New Testament. So when Christ is revealed, two categories emerge. Two divisions happen. Number one, some were persuaded. Some were saved. Some believed. Number two, some disbelieved. Some were not saved. Happens all the time, doesn't it? People will believe. The gospel will draw people, and it will repel people. Jesus on the cross, on his right side had a believer, on his right side, a left side a disbeliever. Once, both were thieves, both were guilty. One believed, one did not. That's what the gospel does. We don't know who's going to believe all the time. They may reject you now, but later on in life, 15 years later, remember Paul goes back and he begins to speak the truth. Some believe, some did not. Everywhere Christ goes, there's that division, those who believe and those that don't. Paul gives one last word, the Jews' rejection of Christ. In verse 26, it says, "The Holy Spirit spoke rightly through Isaiah, the prophet, saying, 'Go to this people, hearing you will hear and shall not understand.'" They had the physical ability to hear and see, but they could not comprehend and understand the truth that was given to them. Paul quotes from Isaiah chapter 6, verse 9 and 10. The original context was Israel's hard heart towards God. In Paul's application, the hardness is revealed by their rejection. In Isaiah chapter 6, verse 11 and 12, it says, "Then I said, 'Lord, how long?' And he answered, 'Until the cities are laid waste and without inhabitants, and the houses are without man, and the land is utterly destroyed, and the Lord has removed men from far away,
In the forsaken place are many in the midst of the land. And that destruction comes. The Jews had rejected Jesus in the book of Matthew, and the Gentiles received. And the reason is Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15, verses 21 through 28. Then Jesus went out from there and departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman came to Canaan from that region and cried out, saying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed." But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, "Send her away, for she cries out after us." But Jesus answered and said, "I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." And then she came and worshipped him, saying, "Lord, help me." But he answered and said, "It is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs." And she said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table." And Jesus answered her and said, "O woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire." And her daughter was healed from that very hour. It's speaking of the Gentiles receiving the hunger for Jesus and partaking of salvation because the Jews had rejected it. And they had a great dispute amongst themselves, it says. They departed and they had a great dispute amongst themselves. It's the same as Judaism today. The Orthodox Judaism, the Reform, the Conservative, still confused. And it'll remain that way until Jesus comes again. Verse 30 and 31, then Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own rented house and received all who came to him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching the things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ. With all confidence, no one forbidding him. So here Paul dwelt for 2 whole years. He was under house arrest, awaiting Nero. And at the time, Luke writes the book of Luke and the book of Acts. And it says it received all who came to him. He was a prisoner under house arrest. Yes, he still ministered to people, preaching and teaching which concern the Lord Jesus. Notice 3 things. Number 1, the importance of preaching and teaching. Preaching and teaching, the last things. The church in Ephesians 4 says we're equipping the saints for works of ministry. The purpose of the preaching and teaching is that you would grow and mature in your faith. Number 2 is the focus on preaching and teaching is Jesus. He is the focus. Don't be distracted by programs and such. And number 3, the presentation of the preaching and teaching, it's God's program, it's not ours. And it says, no one forbid him. The gospel message is unchained, it is active, consistent theme. The message is greater than the messenger. Apply it to your life. God wants us to be witnesses of his grace, his mercy, and his glory. Don't distract your life from that. And I'll close with this. The book of Acts was begun nearly 2,000 years ago, but it has not yet been completed. For the commission of Christ in its opening verses is still binding from every believer in him. And as we have examined the past suffering and successes of our spiritual forefathers, we have prepared ourselves to take our turn at bearing the torch of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. There is no end to this book. That is the last verse. We have completed the book of Acts. The book of Acts now continues in our life. The acts of the Holy Spirit as he continues uses our lives to be a witness to his glory, his grace, his mercy, as he brings salvation to the fallen world. Don't forget that. The book now continues in your life. What is the next chapter in your life going to look like? Is it a life surrendered to the Lord, allowing the Lord to use you to witness, to love, to bring encouragement, compassion, grace, and mercy to those around you? I pray it does, and may the Lord be with you for the rest of this week. Amen.